And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, being heard around the world. Here on the, I guess it's all kind of networks now, isn't it, Jerry? We have WINB and WWCR and the American Voice Network and several stations, the normal AM, FM stations or so forth. It's wonderful being here. And today we've really got a great guest. Mark Dice is a real friend of mine. Had him on before, offered his book called Illuminati, Fact or Fiction. And he's done several books. He's sort of a resistance type guy, and he's sort of a troublemaker. I think he is a little bit of a troublemaker, but I am too. So I don't mind troublemakers at all if they make trouble for the right people for the right cause. And I think Mark Dice does that. Well, he's written a new book. It's called Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True. Now, many of you have read 1984. We offer it through the ministry here, George Orwell's epic best-selling novel. But who would have known that we would surpass 1984? Not just in the numerology of 1984, but I mean really surpass it in terms of high technology. But I believe we have surpassed it in many ways. And this book that Mark Dice has written is a great warning to all of us. He is sort of a comprehensive book, and he covers all kinds of things in the book. And I think you're going to enjoy today's program. I say enjoy. I mean, you know, when you think about it, and you just sit in your living room or maybe you're in your car or whatever, and you look around at all the gadgets in your house, and you realize they all, they may be watching you, surveying you, recording you, all kinds of things. But we're going to find out about that, okay? Mark Dice, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always good to talk with you. And, yeah, we talk about Orwellianism, or we hear these comparisons between George Orwell's famous novel, 1984, published back in 1949, before microwaves, colored television, of course, before the internet. And we're seeing his dystopian future, his forecast, his warning come true in so many ways. And so what I did with Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, is I took all of the quotes that I had highlighted in my copy of 1984, and I did an analysis of current technology, current events, current social trends, the current political system, and overlaid it with Orwell's predictions and interweave literal patent applications, trade journals, and even mainstream news articles and interviews with what George Orwell forecast. And it's absolutely stunning how accurate he was and how Orwellian our world is today. I mean, for example, he wrote about the telescreens being in people's homes, which was a screen that could watch you and listen to you in your own house. And now we have smart televisions that have cameras built into them with facial recognition, with microphones, audio, voice analysis software that can never be turned off using a hardwired switch. We have the webcams in our computers, the cameras in our cell phones. This is old news to some people, but the technology is changing so fast, some people aren't aware of just how advanced this Orwellian technology has become and how invasive it is and how disastrous it is. So in Big Brother, I basically wrote an analysis of our current time, comparing it to what Orwell forecast, and we can get into some of the detailed similarities here in this interview.
Well, now, you know, we have companies. We have Google, and I noticed that they've got shoes that have a computer on them. I mean, you know, brand new sneakers, and then they came out with glasses, you know, that are a computer that you just use your eyes and you can bring up, you know, computer images. That's right now. They've got that for sale at Google. Of course, we've got the iPhone. I suppose the iPhone itself, and there's all kind of versions now, you know, of many companies, Samsung and others have it. But the iPhone by itself is probably 1,000 times as powerful as the first computers, right?
Yeah, and it's old news to some. This was reported in 2006 that our friendly alphabet agencies, the CIA, NSA, FBI, and even savvy hackers or corporations who hire hackers, can activate the microphone and the camera in virtually any cell phone, even when the phone is turned off. And I know you're aware of this, but maybe some of the audience isn't aware that they can actually activate the microphone, listen to you in your own house, watch you, and use the camera to develop a 3D map of your entire house, sort of like a Google Street View, where you can just click through and you can take a virtual tour of specific neighborhoods. People can do that now.
Wow, that's
just
that's...
with a simple cell phone.
So how about television? You go down, you buy a big new television, HD TV, and the flat screen, and all this stuff. What are the dangers we're looking for there? I mean, just tell me a little bit about it. What am I in for?
All new televisions now are considered smart TVs. They are Wi-Fi connected, so they're connected to the internet at all times, and many of them have built-in cameras and microphones. They say, you know, for Skyping and for doing video conferencing, they're voice activated. They have, some of them, facial recognition software in the televisions. And there's no on-off switch. There's no hardwire switch that turns the camera, the microphone off. There's no lens cover that covers up this camera. And so because most people have a television in their living room, most people have a television in their bedroom, those cameras and microphones can be easily accessed from any government agency which has the ability. I was going to say the authority, but they bypass the authority under the disguise of national security. And even the CIA, previous CIA director, has admitted that privacy has a new meaning today. And at one point in time, if the FBI, CIA, a Stalinistic government, a Nazi-like government, wanted to spy on somebody in their house, they would have to tap their telephone. They could only record them or listen to them when they're talking on the phone, or they would have to break into their house and plant bugs into their house. But now, you can just be targeted, and just with a simple push of a button, anybody virtually can access your video camera and microphone in your television or in your laptop. I write about this in Big Brother. There was a case in a Philadelphia school of a school issuing laptops to the students, and they were secretly accessing the webcams wirelessly over the internet because, as you know, all laptops now are Wi-Fi connected, and so the students found out about this and sued the school, and there was an investigation. And they admitted that, yes, they were able to access the students' laptops, the webcam, just from entering in a student's name. And that student had their laptop open on their desk in their bedroom, and the school officials could access that camera. And so that is a modern-day telescreen. And now we have the smart televisions have these cameras and microphones built into them. I urge everybody, and I do this myself, I cover up the camera and the microphone on my laptop unless I'm specifically using it. And I urge, of course, the manufacturers are never going to build in or going to resist building in just a simple lens cover that you can physically slide over the lens and the microphone to deactivate it, because that's counter to the CIA's goal or the Illuminati's goal of being all-knowing and all-seeing. And now, you mentioned the Google Glass, or the Google Glasses, these these head-mounted display, these HMDs that are coming out in a few months. And Apple is working on them, probably going to be called the eyeglasses. And it's literally a smartphone on your face. And it has a camera and a microphone in it. And so now these Illuminati elite, these criminals within the government, can access what you are seeing and what you are hearing just by targeting you with the push of a button. That's godlike power. Up until recently, nobody could really see you or hear you other than God, the all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty God. But now we have these counterfeit Christs, these phonies, these Illuminati Christs, thinking that they're going to become their own gods and have this yearn after this godlike power. And I mean, ultimately, as you know, this is building up to the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, who will use this power to be able to see, hear, and know anything that anybody's doing at any time. And that's very scary.
Well, you know, Revelation 13 talks about a beast who comes up out of the earth, and he makes people worship the first beast. Without getting into that, one of the things that he does is to cause the image of the first beast to walk and to move about, to talk. So it's not the, literally an image. Of course, with holography, we already have that. I remember President Clinton said in some speech, I think it was in Ireland or somewhere, and I quoted him in my books, but he said with virtual, you know, with holography and such, today you could have everything virtual. You could even have a virtual president. And there he was, you know, actually telling people you could have a virtual president. You think you're seeing the president, but you're seeing simply an image of a person. Now, this term Orwellian, it comes obviously from the book. I guess people now just call things Orwellian that are sort of Big Brotherish, right?
Yeah, the term Orwellian comes from, you know, George Orwell's last name, Orwell, Orwellian, and it's entered the popular vernacular referring to this invasive technology or this Big Brother government, this wannabe counterfeit, all-knowing, all-powerful government. And in the book, Big Brother represented the government. He was this supposed leader that ruled over everyone, and he was seen as the big brother of society, the protector, the all-knowing, all-powerful leader of the system. And it's incredible, some of the parallels between Orwell's book and our modern society regarding the social structure, the control of information. In the book, there was a perpetual war that was used to justify taking away everyone's freedoms, their liberties, and to justify the invasion of privacy, kind of like we have with the war on terror after being jump-started by the 9/11 attacks. And we have the personification of the party, telescreens, a snitch culture where everybody is brainwashed into being afraid that there's a terrorist around every corner. Your neighbor, your veteran neighbor, any individual could be a potential terrorist. And if they speak out against our loving Obama, they are to be seen as suspicious. There's a breakdown of family relationships in the Orwellian world of 1984 and today. We see these Illuminati media controllers propping up mainstream musical idols that have a clear satanic anti-family, anti-relationship message to promote an immoral, materialistic, do-what-thou-wilt satanic philosophy. There's the society in Orwell's book was a cold and heartless society. They had lost all respect for their fellow man, as we see today. People are so rude and disrespectful. Foreign countries were painted as enemies in the book. Any foreign country was automatically painted as an enemy, just as we see today, with especially the interesting propaganda regarding the Golden Globe Awards and the Oscars, with Michelle Obama popping in and awarding the Oscar for Best Picture to Argo, trying to prep the American people to introduce the idea again to a whole new generation that Iran is evil. Remember what Iran kept those hostages, prepping America for the impending conflict with Iran. The list just goes on and on, and so that's why, you know, I hope people get the book from you, get your newsletter, go to your website and get it, because I can't even begin to articulate the parallels and the just absolutely shocking invasions of privacy and the technology, which we can still get into and expand on some here in this interview.
Yeah, and you know, they had the proles, the proletarians, in the book 1984. And of course, we have those people. I mean, you know, all the blacks, Hispanics, liberals, they all vote in tandem. It doesn't, you know, they can all be anti-war. And then their great leader says, well, this war is a good one. Oh, we're all pro-war now. You know, back in the George Bush era, all those people said, oh, we're against Bush. Bush is for drones. Bush is for, you know, all these secret gulag prison camps and all that. Oh, we're all against that. Suddenly Obama gets in. Suddenly we're all for that now. You know, this Argo. Let's go in. Let's attack Iraq. It really doesn't matter who the leader is. You know, Big Brother comes as George W. Bush or Obama. If it were Romney, it would make no difference at all. It seems to me that Big Brother is the epitome of the whole culture. It's the government. We must obey the United States of America. It is Big Brother, isn't it?
It is, and you're correct. It doesn't matter. George W. Bush, Barack Obama, if Mitt Romney would have got in there, the majority of the people would just believe what the leader says. And, you know, George Orwell warned about this, and I'm quoting from the book here, nearly all children nowadays were horrible. They adored the party and everything connected with it, the songs, the processions, the banners, the hiking, the drilling with dummy rifles, the yelling of slogans, the worship of Big Brother. It was all sort of glorious to them. All of their ferocity turned outwards against the enemies of the state, against foreigners, traitors, saboteurs, and thought criminals. It's absolutely amazing when you read the forecast, the warning of George Orwell, the incredible foresight that he had here, again, quoting from my copy, every citizen, or at least every citizen important enough to be worth watching, could be kept for 24 hours a day under the surveillance of the police and in the sound of official propaganda, with all other channels of communication closed. The possibility of enforcing not only complete obedience to the will of the state, but complete uniformity of opinions on all subjects now existed for the first time.
Everybody had to love Big Brother. I mean, that was it. Or they would, you know, you would conform, or your mind would be conformed. Now, they had an enemy in 1984 named Emmanuel Goldstein. But it appeared that from reading George Orwell's book, Mark, that the enemy didn't even really exist. I mean, he was a fictitious character. And it reminded me exactly of Osama bin Laden, who, whether he existed or not, we really don't know. From what we have now, I remember Benazir Bhutto, the gal that was assassinated herself because she obviously told too many secrets, who was going to be president of Pakistan. She said, Osama bin Laden is already dead. The Secret Service of France said he was dead. You know, he was already dead, but yet he was still alive. And then the SEAL Team 6 was sent in to capture him, or kill him, but they didn't. Or they tell us that they did, but we never saw his body. It was, you know, dumped in the ocean somewhere. And then suddenly a SEAL Team 6 team, their whole helicopter was shot out of the sky. So we really have all of these mysteries and of course we've seen 6 or 8 videos of Osama bin Laden, but he looks different in each one. Apparently they had actors to portray him. it's really an incredible situation, isn't it?
Yes, in Big Brother, the Orwellian Nightmare, I cross-reference and highlight this incredible similarity between the bad guy in the book, Emmanuel Goldstein, and Osama bin Laden, because in 1984, every bad thing that happened was attributed to Emmanuel Goldstein. And the government itself, Winston Smith, his girlfriend, Julia, actually mused aloud that it was the government bombing itself in order to keep everybody in fear.
Oh, boy.
And then blaming it on Emmanuel Goldstein, exactly like we have with the case of Osama bin Laden, the 9/11 attacks. I mean, you know, if there was a liquor store that was robbed, it was Osama bin Laden, and Al-Qaeda was behind it. And it's amazing the parallels there. I mean, Orwell wrote, Goldstein was delivering his venomous attack upon the doctrines of the party, an attack so exaggerated and perverse that a child should have been able to see through it. Just like a child should be able to see through, or should have been able to see through, the incredible, exaggerated fear-mongering surrounding Osama bin Laden. Everything that happened over the last 10 years is Al-Qaeda connected. Every liquor store. You know, I stubbed my toe. Al-Qaeda. Osama bin Laden was involved in that. And again, like I said, the girlfriend, one of the main characters, Julia, started to suspect that her own government were the ones behind the terrorist attacks in order to justify their power, just like we have with George Bush or Obama and the government behind false flag attacks and hyping up the fear-mongering. And it's absolutely amazing, the similarities.
I understand that Bloomberg, after the Aurora, Colorado shooting, Bloomberg said, well, we're going to be ready for the next big shooting. Of course, they may have also been responsible for that shooting. But Mayor Bloomberg of New York had the whole publicity machine. They had practiced it exactly what they were going to do, what he was going to say, to grab our guns, so that when Sandy Hook happened, boy, the mayor of New York came out and he was ready. They had a law in New York already ready to go. The same thing goes in 9/11. They already had a law ready to go, the Patriot Act, to take away a lot of our freedoms and to have a secret police, you know, intensified. But that law was already ready. They knew that there would be a 9/11, and that's why they had all their laws all ready to go. Mayor Bloomberg, it just came out in the paper today. He said, let's prepare for the next big shooting. So he was ready to go when the shooting happened. It's like they wanted to happen. Dianne Feinstein, of course, she had her law. All of these people, it's just an amazing, you know, similarity here. This George Orwell was very, let's just say he was ingenious. Or maybe he knew there was a certain predictive capability about every dictator system. After all, he'd been involved in one. He'd been a communist before, a Bolshevik himself. He went down to Spain, you know, to fight for the communists against the nationalists there.
When he published 1984, back in 1949, there were already several books, as I'm sure you're aware, about the Illuminati, exposing the Illuminati. I mean, Lady Queensborough had published Occult Theocracy in 1933. So it's possible, Nesta Webster published Secret Societies and Subversive Movements in 1924. So people back then, a small percentage of people, we're aware of the Illuminati and how they functioned and how they worked, their method of operation. And, you know, you mentioned how the Patriot Act was already written and planned, just waiting for that new Pearl Harbor to take place. The very word, as you know, Patriot Act, is an Orwellian word designed to convey a meaning completely counter to what it actually represents. The fact that they named it the Patriot Act is purposely designed to make anyone who is against it seem like, well, you're just unpatriotic. Like, what do you mean, Tex? You don't support the Patriot Act? You're unpatriotic.
That's a very good, you know, even the National Defense Authorization Act, which gives the president the authority to murder anybody by drones or by any means, put them on a list, just kill them without any, Bill of Rights protections at all. That's Orwellian, is it? National Defense. We killed this guy. He was drinking a cup of coffee at Starbucks. And we had a drone go in and blow up the place, and there was collateral damage, of course. There's 20 or 30 other people that were murdered. But we did it for the good of the whole United States.
And the very term, the Department of Defense, is another Orwellian term, conveying not the Department of Defense. It's really the Department of Offense, or the Department of Military Industrial Complex, war profiteering imperialism. And it used to be called the Department of War, which was an appropriate term, but now they changed it and call it the Department of Defense. So these terms, since the human mind is programmed to understand language and to accept language on the surface for the images and the messages that those specific words are designed to convey, these Illuminati elite, this invisible empire, this superclass that runs America and the world, chooses these words very, very carefully to convey a meaning exactly opposite of what it is in order to dupe the majority of the mentally enslaved population into going along with what they say.
You know, I used to be, in the Air Force, retired as an officer. But I remember I was at a Strategic Air Command base, and when you drive into the main gate, there was a gigantic water tank there. And, you know, what better thing to use for propaganda than a big water tank? Just, you know, have a motto or an image on it. So, you know, it said, had the big Strategic Air Command logo. Then underneath it, it said, peace is our business. You know, here we were prepared to kill half the world with nuclear bombs, missiles and bombers. But peace is our business. We would always joke as officers to each other, you know, peace is our business, but war is our profession. But we didn't tell the public, you know, the second part of that motto. It wasn't on the water tank, you know. Well, Jerry, do we have any more time here? We're about a minute and a half. Okay, on this first half. Let's talk a little bit about some of these weapon systems, because you cover the whole waterfront of things. How about facial recognition systems? Can they actually recognize your face from a crowd?
Oh, this is incredible. Facial recognition systems have been around for over a decade, secretly being used in casinos and government facilities. But recently, there was a hack. Some hackers hacked a intelligence front, Stratfor, and uncovered that using what they call a trap wire system, they have facial recognition scanning cameras, which are just really ordinary cameras, feeding their video feed into facial recognition scanning software databases in all major cities and in airports, in government facilities, that can pick out individuals from a crowd. And, of course, the Rockefellers are behind this. The infamous Rockefeller Illuminati family funded the development of facial recognition scanners by giving a grant, a $4 million grant through DARPA, to have Joseph Adick, this man who developed a company called Visionics, who was one of the premier developers of facial recognition scanning systems. So we have the infamous Illuminati Rockefeller literally funding the development of this. Back in 1991, this guy, Joseph Adick, was recruited by Rockefeller University to create a laboratory to develop this stuff.
When we come back, we're going to take
$4 million grant.
Okay, when we come back, let's hear more about Mr. Adick and his Visionics, so-called, and many more systems. This is Tex Mars. I'm with Mark Dice. Stay with us, won't you? Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True by Mark Dice. We'd like to offer this book to you, dear friend, because it's very important. You need to know where your taxpayer dollars are going, and billions of them are being poured into DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. I mean, the United States, we're the nation that's coming out with all of these systems to track you, surveil you, watch you. I mean, you can't get away from these people. And whatever happened to the Fourth Amendment, which said that you're secure, your privacy, all of your personal papers and effects? Well, that's out the window, obviously. But Big Brother has a system set up, and it is the Orwellian nightmare come true. I don't think I've ever seen a book that really covers this the way Mark Dice's book does. And I want you to have your copy of it. Now, here's how to get it. It's $20 plus $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25. And please send your request now to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or just simply go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. You'll see it advertised right on the home page. You'll see it advertised there. Click on, and then, of course, use your PayPal or your charge card and get the book, Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True. $20, $5 shipping and handling, $25. Now, you can phone us toll-free. That's 1-800-234-9673. When you call us, just simply tell the receptionist, say, hey, I'm calling for the book Big Brother. We'll know what you're talking about, okay? And I want to remind you that anyone who orders anything at all from us, while we give you a free 6-month subscription to our printed hard copy newsletter, Power of Prophecy. It comes out each month. I think you're going to enjoy this coming months. Boy, it's a humdinger, isn't it? I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but oh man, it is a change. It changes everything. But I'm going to leave a little bit of mystery what the 1 April newsletter is all about. Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True by Mark Dice. That's D-I-C-E, Mark Dice. If you can remember either the name or the book, Big Brother, well, you've got it. But $25, that's postpaid. Everything is included. We've got plenty of copies of these. I'm sure that Mark Dice will get more to us if we don't. But we want you to have this book. It will tell you what Big Brother's government is doing to you and to me. You know, they're talking now about all this budget crisis and the financial cliff and the sequester and all this nonsense. Well, this is billions and billions of dollars they're throwing into developing a nightmarish Orwellian system. And we're, leap years ahead of every other nation on earth in this. It is astonishing what is happening. And I want you to know about it. Mark Dice wants you to know about it. Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True. A total of $25. That takes care of all the shipping, the handling, and so forth. Again, our phone number, 1-800-234-9673 during the work week. Or you can go to our website 24 hours a day at powerofprophecy.com. Or again, you can write to us. Drop me a line and enclose a check or money order or the cash for $25 and say, hey, text, send me that book, Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True. Within a couple of days, we'll have it winging its way to you. You need this book. The minute I saw it, I said this is a very important book. All right, let's return to our regular program now. I'm with Mark Dice. Welcome back to Power of Prophecy, Mark.
Thanks. Just continuing with some creepy facial recognition news and how this is going to affect society, there was an app developed for cell phones a couple years ago that was thankfully declined from the Android App Store and the Apple App Store because of privacy concerns. But this is how powerful this technology is. This company developed an app that you could use your cell phone to take a picture of someone, and it would find their Facebook page. And so you could have some creepy guy going into a bar or going anywhere and taking pictures of women and then finding their name, their Facebook page, and if it's not private, finding out everything about them just from snapping their picture. And we have a similar app on the new Google Glass head-mounted display system, the smartphone on your face that's coming out in a few months, that identifies people. It can memorize a specific individual based on their character traits. They're saying that it's not facial recognition, but it's very similar, using their clothes and physical features, where you can pick people out of a crowd, and it says that it's just to help you identify your friends. And so the next step is going to be a facial recognition app. So you can just be walking down the street, and it will tell you exactly who everybody is. And some of the dangers of this, obviously, are stalking and privacy issues, but police have now portable facial recognition identification systems, so they can scan crowds of people in a protest and identify everybody in the crowd in instantly. Or if they have a suspect, they just take somebody's picture, run it through the database, it finds out exactly who that person is. So now, if you're at a protest, protesting against the government, protesting against drone strikes, if you're at the Bilderberg protest or protesting outside the gates of the Bohemian Grove, as I have, now even they could just videotape the crowd, and there's facial recognition software that the authorities have where they just run that video through the database, and it will identify everybody in the crowd.
So if you've ever been anywhere, done anything, received any kind of newsletter, magazine, whatever, or if you've just gone to a website because you're curious and it's anti-government, they've got you forever in their system as a troublemaker. Somebody to, when they crank up their gulag system, and they've already got it going, of course, but when they really crank it up full blast, I mean, you're going to be one of the ones picked up. Could have been just an accident that you were on that anti-government website, but there it is. That's your name. That's your face. That's who you are. Now, Google, Microsoft, Apple, these are three of the largest corporations. I think Apple is. Corporations in the world, they're all cooperating with the government. It keeps coming out over and over that they have violated the privacy of individuals, that they're working with the government, AT&T, Verizon, all the big phone companies. You know, it used to be that they would deny the government. They would say, you need to come to us with a warrant to even get the phone number of somebody. But now it's just done, isn't it? It's just like everything is all linked together.
Well, with the push of a button, and another danger, just aside from being at an innocent Bilderberg protest and now being flagged as a potential disruptor or a potential domestic terrorist, there's Orwellian discrimination, and that is because certain things that you do should remain private, your political affiliations, your personal pastimes, the magazines that you read, the books you buy, the websites you visit to, the radio shows you stream. That's really your personal business. And so we have the potential, and this has happened, of employers who can run background checks or can run somebody through a LexisNexis search, and people may not just get a job because the potential employer just didn't like their political affiliation. And the person applying for the job is never going to know why they never got the call back.
That's
but
true.
But the person in charge of doing the hiring is going to know, and they're going to say, oh, you know what? We only hire, and they'll never admit this because this is clearly discrimination, but they'll think to themselves, well, you know, we only hire Obama supporters over here. Or, oh, man, this guy's been to a Bilderberg protest. Okay, don't want him working for us. And so that's what I call Orwellian discrimination.
And you never know that you've been discriminated against. Now, I know this guy, Schmidt. He's the CEO of Google. I was listening to him being interviewed by one of the pretty faces on one of the networks. And she was talking about how, you know, Google could really peek into your bedroom practically and watch you. And say, and the guy had the gall to come back and say, well, if you haven't done anything wrong, what would you be afraid of? How would you answer that if the CEO of Google said to you, Mark Dice, if you haven't done anything wrong, you wouldn't mind being watched, would you?
Well, it's one of the reasons is because of the clear discrimination, and people are inherently biased. And so you have certain things that you do, certain political beliefs, certain materials that you read that you don't talk about it at work among to your boss, to your supervisor. You keep that to yourself, amongst your friends. And that's one of the reasons. And, of course, that's why we have the Fourth Amendment. Mm-hmm. That's why we have the Bill of Rights, so that we don't have a government trampling over people. And Schmidt, it's this ultimate double standard, because we have the attendees of the Bilderberg group, and he has attended Bilderberg in the past. For those, your audience probably knows, Bilderberg is a major branch of the modern-day Illuminati. They're the shadow government who meet every year in secret. They shut down the hotel. There's armed guards and not allowing anybody onto the property. And Schmidt, Eric Schmidt, has been to the Bilderberg meetings. And so these people meet in secret. They deny that they're any knowledge of the Bilderberg group. They play dumb. These mainstream talking heads, Sean Hannity on the right, Alan Combs on the left, they all protect the secrecy of the Bilderberg group. But it's this double standard, because they don't want people to know what they're doing, or that they're even meeting, or that they're attending this Bilderberg group conference, this Illuminati meeting. But then they want to see us. They want to look into our bedrooms, literally. Look and listen. It's the ultimate double standard.
Yeah, it seems to me, you know, you'd like a little bit of privacy. You're at home, you're talking with your wife or your husband. Everything you say could be recorded. Your phone, your TV, you're being watched 24 hours a day. It seems to me, you know, as compared to the time when I was a young boy, when everything, you know, was free, you had such liberty. It's incredible now. Who wants to see, to have a camera in your bedroom watching you? I mean, the violations here, and I wonder about the new generation. They're coming up, and they're doing horrible things, things that we couldn't even imagine, sending pictures of their private parts to their girlfriends or boyfriends or somebody they don't even know, maybe just a name on the internet, you know, like the Notre Dame footballer claimed that he was going with a gal for 3 years and never even met her, and she turned out not to even be real. In fact, she turned out to be a boy, another man. So, but they were watching him all this time as he was communicating back and forth with a man who turns out to be a homosexual, by the way. Boy, what a way to get you. You think you're talking with a girl, and you're talking with a man. You become engaged to her. She is a homosexual, and then you're blackmailed for the rest of your life because of some stupidity on your part. I'm not saying that everybody would do something like that, but it seems like a lot of us do crazy things when we're young that we wouldn't do when you reach about 30.
Another issue here with this massive surveillance state and with Google Glasses being able to record video and audio of any interaction.
And your sneakers, too.
We all say things in private to our friends, to our family, to our girlfriends, to our wives. If those things were recorded and posted on the internet and taken out of context, could ruin and will ruin careers. Because if you make a racist joke and you and your friends can have a good laugh, who doesn't enjoy some good racist jokes now and then? If you have a good sense of humor within certain tastes, you could find them humorous. They are funny to some extent. But if you are recorded making a racist joke, and then that's leaked out on the internet, that can and will kill.
Oh, or homosexual, anything politically incorrect. If you say anything about homosexuality or lesbianism or anything like that, I don't even worry about that. But a lot of, you know, that's what's fouling up a lot of people's careers right now today. Now, let's go into a couple of things here, because I'm just very interested in these things. GPS tracking devices. Are they tracking us? Can we be tracked? If I jump into my car and go somewhere, can they be watching me?
For the last several years, all cell phones, really the last decade or so, all cell phones have a mandatory GPS tracking device in them. And So most people carry their cell phone with them wherever they go. There have been GPS tracking devices implanted on cars, so police can track people. Stalkers track their ex-girlfriends, ex-wives. But one of the most disturbing instances is an implantable GPS system. A patent was submitted back in 2003, 10 years ago, by a company called Persephone, which, as you know, has occult implications. Persephone was the name of the Greek goddess that governs the underworld. And so we have a California company called Persephone that submitted an application for a patent that is an implantable GPS device that they proposed would be forcibly and mandatory implanted into troublesome kids or prisoners. And I'm reading directly from the patent application, where it says that the device would be, quote, submuscular, for example, deep into the large muscle. Such a location is currently used for the implementation of commercially available and artificial urethral and sphincter reservoirs, which are positioned deep within to the rectus abdominis muscles. But it just goes on to say that because, quote, I'm quoting here, because this device is implanted in the person, it can also provide a shock, vibration, or other warning.
Goodness.
That may be progressive if the person is subjected to the shock of increasing magnitude if he leaves the zone of confinement or enters a forbidden zone. And it continues that the, quote, device may include a microphone or similar device for monitoring acoustic information, thereby permitting the person to talk with a remote location. This is not just a theoretical device. This is not just a prototype. This is something that this company built and patented.
Well, you know, there are thousands of companies like that. I mean, they put out catalogs. It's incredible. 15 years ago, I went on their mailing list, and boy, I was submerged in all kinds of technical catalogs and systems. I mean, they've got everything that the government could ever want about you. Well, neural interfaces, you know, the Borg concept, connecting all of the minds together. They're going to do this, aren't they, with our military?
Yeah, they've been planning by implanting neural interfaces, wiring the internet directly into your mind. It's a BMI, a brain-machine interface. And we have instances of people with paralyzed spinal cord injuries using these devices to think, and the internet, the cursor on the computer moves. And so we have these transhumanist promoters like Ray Kurzweil is the biggest proponent of these things, where they are planning and working towards a society where we will literally plug the internet into our brain. And they're saying that you will become superhuman. You will be able to live in your own virtual reality world. And there was a document published by the Air Force back in 1996, over 15 years ago, where they said that they're planning on using these with soldiers and also putting them into the consumer market, and that people in the 20th century may resist such an idea, but they will accept it because of its incredible benefits. And they even propose that it will be used for what they call the ultimate virtual reality trip. And so I believe that this is likely the mark of the beast, where the Bible, Book of Revelation, says it will be a mark on your hand or in your head, in your forehead, where you can't buy or sell without it, and you will be eternally damned. And that is potentially, possibly, what this thing will ultimately lead to, where once the Antichrist comes onto the scene, he will offer people immortality through some sort of genetic modification or through being connected with a neural interface, nanobots, some anti-aging formula. And he'll say, hey, just plug this thing into your brain, and you can become like God, like me, and you can be anything you want, anything you think about. here, just take this feeding tube and sit on your couch, and it'll be a lot of fun, folks. Don't worry about it. You want to be all-knowing and all-powerful, don't you? And we have these things being built, and we have Ray Kurzweil working towards this. They are promising people that by 2045 that people will be able to upload their brain into a silicone-based computer where they can live forever. It's just absurd. This is the dumbest idea I've ever heard. But that is the plan. That's what they're
so you sit on your couch or your chair, and you're plugged into the Internet. And we're not talking about a big old electric plug. We're talking about a microchip or something. And you're plugged into the Internet, and you can go on trips. You can go to Paris, to Rome, wherever, see things. You'll just know things, and it'll be amazing. You'll never have to get out of your house. Why, you can be a couch potato forever or a prisoner. Seems to me that those who dissent from this, who insist that they want to be an individual, that they want to be a person, insist, let's just say, on their humanness, that they'll be given something horrible. I mean, I can imagine a horror machine where you're given a sensation of being waterboarded forever. You could be hooked to a machine like that and kept in some facility, and for the rest of your life you'll be waterboarded. This horrible sensation of being drowned, and you're screaming and trying to escape, and that can be your punishment for not going along with Big Brother, can it?
It could be, or that will be the punishment for those who accept this willingly, believing that they're going to become all-knowing gods themselves, who believe the lie that they're never going to die. And that could be the ultimate, that could be them in hell forever and ever.
That's a thought.
We're going to see segments of society like you and me resisting this and rising up and declaring that we have the right to be human, to not be forced to take this device. And Ray Kurzweil even predicts, forecasts that there will be small little segments of society where the humans who have decided not to go along with this plan will live as primitive aborigines compared to their cybernetic gods that will be inhabiting the rest of the planet.
Well, now, here's sort of the problem in all of this. Now, let's talk for a moment about robotics, about robots. Now, I know we've all seen these clunky metallic things, you know, Robbie on Forbidden Planet, or the Gort on, what is it, the day the Earth stood still. Or we've seen, you know, the Star Wars, the friendly little golden and silver C-3PO or whatever robots. And that's, I think, that the vision that most people have. But they're developing now robots that, well, they can even be sex partners for people, companions. But robots that can outthink us, outdo us, outperform us, and do our jobs. We're talking about 20 years from now, 20 or 30, so that almost everyone listening to us, Mark, will be affected by this. If you think your job is safe no matter what you're doing, it's not. So what are they going to do with all these billions of people that they don't need anymore?
Well, that goes back to the Georgia Guidestones, the Illuminati Ten Commandments, built back in the 1980s by the mysterious man using a pseudonym based after Christian Rosenkreutz, the Rosicrucian founder, pseudonym of the Rosicrucian Manifestos. And it appears that there will likely be a massive population reduction. We know that this superclass of people are worried that with so many billions of people on the planet using the natural resources that they themselves want and believe that they're going to need for their supposed eternal life here on planet Earth, or their 500-year or their 1,000-year life here on Earth with the life extension technologies, that they will likely at some point in time implement some sort of a global holocaust to just absolutely wipe out the majority of us, quote, useless eaters.
I noticed they have a robot you mentioned in your book called Eater. I mean, that's the official name of EATR, the Eater robot, and it actually, well, it can eat human bodies. I mean,
tell us
a little bit about Eater. I mean, this is a robot that they've developed that it now exists that can survive eating wood chips or, you know, garbage or decaying human bodies.
Yeah, I forget the details on this robot, but it has some sort of an energy device where it burns the carbon. It works off of a carbon-based products, whether it's flesh or sticks and grass. And while the promoter said, or the creator said, yeah, well, it could eat human beings, but we won't program it to do that. And so with every day that goes by, we get closer and closer to the Terminator scenario based off of the James Cameron Terminator films, where minus the time travel aspect, where he forecasted and warned that robots could or would at one point become so self-sufficient, so intelligent that they would turn on us human beings. And so that is a possible scenario, and we have different individuals within governments trying to create legislation to prevent robots from becoming superhuman or super intelligent. They're trying to literally implement Isaac Asimov's rules of robotics to attempt to prevent these robots that are going to become super intelligent automated systems from turning on us human beings. And even if they don't, who's to say that the Pentagon, the government, the creators won't use these robots and program them to attack us? Because while some in the police and the military may have a hard time turning against the American people, anybody in the government, in the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, could easily program or just order the robot army to exterminate the patriots or those in the resistance brotherhood very easily without any, and the robots will carry those orders out without any remorse.
Yeah, right now we already have thousands of drone robots that are, you know, in our skies right now. They some of them look like bees, birds, pigeons. I mean, you know, all kind of shapes and varieties. So it's just we may have an encounter with a fly or a bumblebee, and it actually is a drone surveillance device or something. It's just
And these drones have, many of these drones have facial recognition scanners on them, so the drone can fly over a crowd and can pick out its target. There's a new drone, you probably know this, the declassified some of the capabilities of the Argus drone, which can hover over a city and can see a watch a 15 square mile area.
Wow.
And record everything and can zoom in on anything that moves, can record the entire day's worth of movements from this anything that is in this 15 square mile area, and can zoom in on something as small as a candy bar wrapper on the floor, on the ground.
Well, Mark, we're out of time. I wish we had more. We're going to have you back again, because there's so much here in your book, Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True. It's available, folks, from powerofprophecy.com. Mark Dice, thank you so much for being our guest today on Power of Prophecy.
Thanks for your support. Thanks for blazing the trail for people like myself and others who've come along in the last decade or so. And, yeah, continue the great work. I'll be back anytime.
Well, Mark, you're doing the great work, too. So this book is going to really mean a lot to people that get it and see what our government is doing. Well, folks, it's been great being with you today. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.